Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Accidentally Perfect by Elizabeth Stevens, narrated by Shiromi Arserio. Chapter 1. There Goes the Neighborhood. Hadley covered my ears and glared at Tucker.
"Don't say things like that in front of the young and innocent," she chastised, and I waved her away.
"Hads," I grumbled as I shoved her hands off me, and Tucker laughed.
"Of course, my bad," he said. "We couldn't possibly allow Piper to know about."
He leant forwards, his hazel eyes shining, and whispered scandalously,
"Sex."
Hadley put an arm around me, and I gave them a friendly smile as they laughed. Because what else am I going to do? I was the innocent, virginal, sweet little Piper Barlow, and my friends have decided I shouldn't be in any rush to change myself. So they did what they called protecting me, and I was plenty happy to let them. Hadley looked at Tucker pointedly.
"This is why a certain someone would be perf."
A commotion to our right heralded Roman Lombardi, staggering out of a classroom, and we turned to watch Mr. Dunridge follow him. Both of them wore a scowl, although Roman's had a hint of amused defiance about it. As usual, Roman's dark brown hair, shorter at the sides but longer on top, hung into his eyes. His shirt was half untucked, his tie was loose, and he carried his skateboard in one hand, his other hand a fist.
"I'm serious this time, Roman,"
the school's vice principal said as he pointed at the resident underachiever.
"I catch you with it during class again, and you'll get more than detention."
Roman held his hand up, and the lighter in it flared to life.
"What, this?"
he asked, full of innocence. Even I knew it was completely fake.
"This tiny little thing, Dunbridge? What do you think I'll get up to?"
"Do you enjoy spending Friday afternoons in my company, Roman?"
That amused defiance played at Roman's lips, but his eyes were hard and a muscle twitched in his jaw.
"They're the highlight of my week, sir."
Mr. Dunbridge sighed.
"Well, consider this Friday something to look forward to."
Roman gave him the most condescendingly mocking bow.
"With pleasure, sir."
Again, he spat the word with a healthy amount of contempt.
"Get out of my sight before I kick you out, Roman."
Mr. Dunbridge pointed down the hallway, clearly at the end of his tether.
"Oh, you've tried that 3 times already, Dunbridge. And where did that get you?"
Roman sneered. Mr. Dunbridge's lip curled like he was trying to control a snarl.
"Get out of here before I forget to care who your father is."
Roman's lip twitched, but it wasn't pleasant.
"Oh, but it's so much easier not to care, sir. Trust me, I'd know."
He threw Mr. Dunbridge a completely insincere smile and whirled on his heel. As he passed the three of us, he gave us a once-over with the laziest, unimpressed expression as his eyes raked us up and down. We watched him stalk out of the building as he reached into his blazer pocket. Mr. Dunbridge threw us a terse grimace, masquerading as a smile, before he went back into the classroom and closed the door. Tucker snorted and Hadley smiled.
"Well, I was just thinking we hadn't had nearly enough Roman drama this week," Hadley commented.
Tucker smirked.
"I heard Shayla's still a lovely burnt orange under something like 5 layers of makeup."
I hid a smile. The week before, Roman and his mates had broken into the girls' locker room and replaced all of Shayla's and her clones' moisturizers with the darkest shade of tanning lotion. I might not have liked Shayla, and the idea of her being orange might have been humorous. But even that failed to detract from the fact that anyone could be the next target of one of their pranks.
"Leave poor Shayla be," Hadley said with a grin.
"Oh, come on. She deserved it, at least."
"That's beside the point. How would you like to be orange?"
Tucker smiled to me.
"I'm pretty sure I could pull off orange."
"You'd look like an Oompa Loompa."
"I'd make a better Oompa Loompa than Shayla. She's far too grumpy."
He pouted playfully. Hadley giggled.
"Not funny."
"Very funny.
Maybe we should convince them to put Nair in the shampoo next time."
"Stop it," Hadley said as she covered her mouth with her hand.
"Piper, tell her.
Shayla wouldn't look anything like an angry Dwayne Johnson if she was bald, would she? I managed to control my smile, but Hadley responded before I could open my mouth. Don't corrupt her, you ass! She batted Tucker's arm. Tucker held his hands up in defense. I'm not doing anything of the sort. I just asked Piper's opinion. And she won't dignify your question with an answer because she's far too polite to even think such horrid things. Actually, there were plenty of impolite things I could say about Shayla and the way she looked down on the rest of us, regardless of whether people liked her or not. But I wouldn't. Unlike you, Tucker pointed out. Hadley nodded. Someone has to make up for it. Tucker laughed. Oh, so you're only rude because Piper's lovely? Hadley nodded, and they seemed to start heading for the doors as though we'd made a unilateral decision to move. I hurried after them after a heartbeat. Yes. Bullshit. Excuse me, I'm a lady. Hadley wasn't a lady, but I wasn't going to remind her in front of Tucker. Not that he needed reminding. Are you? My bad, I hadn't noticed. They laughed as we walked outside, and Celeste came bounding up to us, her honey blonde ponytail bouncing right along with the rest of her. There you are, she said with a smile as she and Hadley joined arms and Hadley absently waved for mine. I slipped my arm into hers as we meandered along in much the same way we had since year one. Tucker, man! Craig called, and I looked over to see him standing with Mason and Simon. I felt my cheeks heat and I practically hid behind Hadley. I'll see you ladies later, Tucker teased before he jogged off, catching the football Simon threw him. Hey, Mason! Hadley waved enthusiastically as she elbowed me. Oh, Piper, it's Mason, she said loud enough for him to hear. Leave it, I hissed, and Hadley giggled. He'd be perfect, babes. Ease you in, look after you, be a proper gentleman. I rolled my eyes, but I kept it to myself. No one knows if he likes me or not. You're making assumptions because he smiles at me sometimes. He stares at you all the time, Celeste said. Like someone else we know. Hadley elbowed me again and I repaid the favor as my eyes jerked up. Roman was over the other side of the oval where he and his mates usually were at lunch. He was facing us, but nothing about that actually suggested he was looking at me. No one else looks at me. Firstly, lots of people look at you. Secondly, Roman certainly does look at you. God, I wish he looked at me, Celeste sighed. No, you don't, I muttered. Me too. Hadley grabbed my arm with her other hand as we walked towards the bleachers. Are you sure you've never spoken to him? I nodded. I haven't talked to him any more than either of you. That is not what his eyes say. Eyes don't talk, Hads. We all stopped and watched him for a moment as he and his mates goofed around doing whatever it was they did to entertain themselves. That was until some girl I only knew by sight approached him. He could feel the ice from the other side of the oval as he completely shut her down. Behind him, Steve and Jake doubled up in laughter before Rio gave Roman their weird handshake and the girl hurried away, obviously upset. Roman Lombardi's eyes talk, Pipe. Oh, how they talk. Did it not matter that we'd literally just watched him shit all over a girl he'd no doubt hooked up with over the weekend? That we'd just witnessed the infamous Roman brush-off, complete with insults from his friends? That she was the third girl in as many weeks that we'd seen, let alone the however many we didn't? It's about the only part of him that does, I grumbled. That's not true, we just heard him speaking. We heard him antagonizing the vice principal. Not quite the same thing. Oh, what did he do now? Celeste asked excitedly. Hadley recounted the incident in the hallway, while Celeste gasped animatedly in all the right places. I, meanwhile, snuck a look at Roman across the oval as we all sat down. It was true, we had just heard him talking, but just about the only time anyone heard the sarcastic, gravelly notes of Roman's voice was when he was riling up the establishment. Otherwise, he just walked around with a look on his face like someone had pissed in his lemonade. Although I suspected it had been a while since Roman had drunk lemonade, at least judging by the last time he'd been arrested for public drunkenness.
My headphones were blaring in my ears, so I didn't notice the white twin-cab ute until it was careening past me. I paused, my heart pounding in my chest. Then before I kept on, I moved closer to the shoulder of the road. I breathed deeply, trying to calm my heart. Except the fright had sent it into a pattern it knew too well, and I felt the usual shortness of breath, and the antsy feeling in my fingers set in. I shook out my hands as I walked, focusing on the song in my ears and the steps of my feet. I didn't really hear the lyrics. I didn't really hear the tune. I just focused on counting the beat. By the time I turned into the driveway, my heartbeat was back to normal, and I remembered how to smile. That was until I noticed a mighty similar big white twin cab in the driveway next to ours, and Roman Lombardi was reaching into the tray and pulling out a cardboard box. I frowned and blinked in confusion. I knew the house had sold. Mum had told me the house had sold and there was a sold sticker plastered across a for sale sign no one but the Barlows saw unless they'd come specifically looking. Roman looked up as though he could sense me standing there, and my heart thudded again, along with a sick, sinking feeling in my stomach. My skin felt itchy the way it often did when he looked at me. I had that urge to get away from him, but my feet refused to move.
"Love, can you find the kitchen things?" a voice called from inside the house.
"I've got it,"
he called back, only half looking to the house, as though he couldn't take his eyes from me either. The split second our gazes weren't locked was all it took to break whatever spell I'd fallen under. I pulled my phone out of my pocket as I tore my eyes from him and hurried inside. Hadley picked up on the third ring. "What?"
"SOS,"
I hissed as I closed the front door, pulling myself up on tiptoes to sneak a look through the window.
"What?"
she asked.
"Are you okay?"
"No," I snapped, ducking down as though anyone could see me. I heard Hadley laugh.
"Okay, so it's not that bad.
What is it?
Did Mason ask you out on the way home and you need date outfit advice?"
I rolled my eyes.
"No,"
I huffed. "The new neighbors have moved in."
"Oh, tell me he's like 25, rides a Harley and sets you on fire with one look," she squealed.
"Stop reading those books, Hadley," I ordered. "They are giving you a completely unrealistic view of the world."
"Okay, so he's 13, gawky braces, and he stuck his hands down his pants when he saw you."
"Ew, I'm putting you on a timeout until you're 80. Hadley giggled.
"You still haven't got to this oh-so-threatening SOS.
Who moved in?"
"Roman Lombardi,"
I whispered, and there was silence on the other side of the phone. Just as I was about to ask her if she was still there, she screamed, loud and excitable and right in my ear. I dropped my phone and fumbled to pick it back up again as I yelled her name.
"Honey, that you?"
Mum called from the kitchen, and I stood up, surprised.
Yeah. Oh, good. Hey, listen.
She appeared at the door, and I could tell she'd been cooking by the smudge on her cheek and the mess on her apron. "I invited Carmen over for dinner tonight." I swallowed and nodded.
"Carmen?"
"Lombardi, hun. You know. She just bought the place next door, and I invited her and the kids over."
"Kids? Had Paris come home?"
"Honey?" Mum sighed, humorously exasperated. I jumped as my phone went off, and I realized Hadley had hung up on me in frustration and was calling me back. I held a hand up to Mum and nodded.
"Sure, dinner, good.
Heads," I said absently as I pointed to my phone, then ran up the stairs.
"Leave me hanging, why don't you?"
Hadley yelled in my ear as I rushed over to my window and stared out it.
"Sorry, Hads, he's unpacking cars. And Mum just..." I heard, "Oh my God, babes, opportunity knocks."
"Hadley," I warned.
"Piper."
Her voice was sugary sweet.
"Shut up,"
I snapped.
"But he's just there, waiting for you to..." "Hadley, shut up,"
I repeated.
"Babes,
I'm going away now and I'm not speaking to you until tomorrow," I informed her.
"No, pipe!
Tomorrow.
Bye!"
I yelled after I'd pulled the phone from my ear, my eyes glued to the house next door, and I hung up on her. I got changed and spent a couple of hours sitting in my window seat pretending I was reading my English book when I was actually watching the movement next door. Somehow I must have actually got sucked into my book, because the next thing I knew, I was jumping in surprise when the doorbell rang.
"Honey!"
Dad called, and I smoothed my shirt as I stood up, not sure why I should feel so nervous that Roman was standing at my door.
"Coming!"
I mean, Roman and I had been at school together for something like 10 years. Sure, we hadn't talked to each other outside the vague requirements of a couple of shared classes over the years. And sure, the guy was trouble. But honestly, there was no reason to be nervous. I took a deep breath and went downstairs to see Mum talking to a woman I recognized well as someone Mum socialized with from her book club. And I'd stressed for no reason because...
"No, Roman?"
Mum asked her. Carmen shook her head. No. Carmen's expression suggested she was telling Mum a whole lot more, and Mum's expression suggested she understood that whole lot more. I looked between them as Mum gave Carmen a smile before turning to me.
"Carmen, you remember Piper?"
she asked, motioning me over, and I wandered towards them. The woman with the thick, curly brown hair and the nicest light brown eyes I'd ever seen smiled at me warmly.
"I do, although you've grown up a lot," she replied, and I smiled.
"Hi. It has been a while.
I think it was the Year 8 play, maybe?"
I nodded. "Probably, yeah," I huffed a laugh. "Wow, I'd almost forgotten about that."
"You were wonderful,"
I shook my head. "Not so much."
"You were very enthusiastic. That counts for a lot."
I laughed. "That's a good word for it."
"Carmen, good to see you,"
Dad cried as he came out to the hallway, wiping his hands on a tea towel.
"Matt, you too. Bree wasn't sure you were going to be home in time."
"I got out of my meeting. Come through, come through. It's good to have you over. Bree just mentioned the setback."
"But no Roman?"
Mum gave him an exasperated look and an apology crossed his face. Mum led us through to the living room.
"Oh no, it's fine," Carmen brushed it off. "He'll be in bed by sunup."
"Wine, Carmen?"
Dad asked, and we were obviously skipping over any more talk of Roman.
"Thanks, yes."
"We have one of those whites," Mum offered, and Carmen smiled.
"Perfect."
Dad headed over into the kitchen while Mum and Carmen talked about things I had no idea about, and they were obviously used to talking about together. I wondered if that was what Hadley and I looked like when we sat on that very couch and giggled. Once Dad came back with a bottle and glasses and a Coke for me, we both sat and watched them talking. I lay my head on Dad's shoulder and answered every now and then if conversation was directed to me. Just as Dad got up to check the dinner, the doorbell rang again.
"I've got it," I said as I hopped up.
"You've got her well trained," Carmen teased.
"Only in front of company," I replied with a laugh as I pulled the door open.
My laugh died as I took in the scene in front of me. Roman Lombardi was standing on our doorstep, his arms behind his back, with two police officers flanking him. There was a cut on his lip that hadn't been there earlier, and a bruise forming on his left cheekbone. His face was set, that muscle in his jaw twitching. He stared me down, full of anger.
"We're looking for Mrs. Lombardi," one of the police officers said, and I pulled my eyes off Roman to look at her.
Sure, I'll just...
"Carmen?"
I called, my eyes drifting to Roman again. The laughter from the living room stopped and Mum followed Carmen to the hallway. Carmen's easy smile dropped as she took in the sight. Then she sighed like she thought she was an idiot for expecting any better.
"I'm so sorry, Officer Daniels," she said as she stepped forward.
"What was it this time?"
"Fighting. Mr. Lombardi dealt with it."
"Couldn't possibly embarrass the old man again,"
Roman snarled. Carmen shot Roman a look that quite clearly told him to shut up.
"What? He'll pay my bail, but not for the house?
It's not fucking..."
"Thank you for bringing him home," Carmen said loudly, cutting him off.
Officer Daniels nodded and took some keys off her belt. As she reached behind Roman, I realized she was undoing handcuffs.
As he stretched his arms out and rubbed his wrists, he flicked his hair out of his eyes.
Just in time for dinner.
Carmen huffed, said thank you to the police officers again before they left, and turned to Mum with an apologetic smile.
I should get him home.
Oh, are you sure? There's plenty. Carmen shook her head. Thanks, Bree, but I think it's best if we... Mum nodded, her eyes full of sympathy. Of course, no problems. Thank you for the wine. We should finish this sometime. When you're all settled. Mum smiled. Carmen nodded.
It was good to see you, Roman,
Mum said, but he only glared at her and gave her a slight nod.
Night,
Carmen said as she took hold of Roman's arm, barely coming up to his shoulder. When I looked up to his face, I found him staring at me. Those deep black holes of eyes raked down my body and back up. His face remained stony as he sucked his teeth and let his mum pull him home.
Chapter 2 Perfection and the Douche. It had been almost 3 weeks since Roman and his mum had moved in next door. I'd spent the first week trying to get Hadley over the fact Roman had moved next door to me. I'd spent the next week trying to get her over the fact that we caught the same bus to and from school on the days he bothered to show up. I'd spent the third telling her there was no way I was going to be taking advantage of his proximity. I'd spent the whole time reminding her that it was not swoon-worthy that he'd shown up at my door, beaten and bruised and brooding bloody murder. And I was starting to think she'd finally accepted it as fact and we could move on with our lives. Hadley popped a bubble.
Remind me again why I'm wasting my free here? She asked, her caramel skin and the highlights in her dark brown curls shining in the sun.
Because, I answered, Mason suggested he wanted me to come to his lesson, and you wanted to perv on the other boys.
I smiled as Mason waved and bowed to me from the field.
Mason was, in the eyes of every girl at school, pure perfection. He had light brown hair that he would flick out of his deep blue eyes like Prince Charming. With his almost 6 foot height and definite six pack, kids either wanted to be him or be with him. But none of that went to his head. He was nothing but nice and kind to everyone.
Hadley snorted. Well, that does sound like me, but...
I could tell that something else had caught her eye. I watched her dip her sunglasses and bite her lip. I've seen something far more to my taste. Unable to suppress a grin, I followed her gaze and saw Roman and a couple of his stoner friends wandering past the bleachers. Roman had his trademark skateboard in one hand and a cigarette in his other. He was everything Mason wasn't, right down to his almost black hair and those eyes like two black holes. And of course he was probably something ridiculous, like at least 6'5". He was conceited, obnoxious, annoying, rude, and all that detracted massively from the unequivocal fact that he was gorgeous. Or he would have been if he wasn't such a douchebag. Mason Carter was not a douchebag, as if anyone even needed a reminder. Mason Carter was just at that moment busy checking one of his classmates was okay after he'd been knocked over. Hadley sighed dramatically.
Shame he only has eyes for someone else.
He does what now? I asked, chewing on my finger as I watched Mason run around the field.
That is not helping, Hadley commented, and I looked over at her.
What's not? Hadley sighed again and looked at me like I was a poor, unfortunate, albeit lovable idiot.
Piper, you cannot suck your finger while a guy is already undressing you with his eyes.
My eyes darted to Roman, not that they had any reason to. The corner of his mouth twitched as he looked at me, and my finger popped out of my mouth. I pulled my eyes away from Roman and back to Mason. I wasn't sucking on anything, I muttered, feeling my cheeks go red. Hadley snorted.
Well, while you're busy denying the fact that you remain Roman Lombardi's Everest, I am not his anything. He's been eyeing you for years.
He's done nothing of the sort.
Much. And it's only got worse since he moved next door.
There is nothing to get worse.
Really? Regardless, while you're living comfortably in denial, do you want to maybe send him my way?
Sure, Hads, I scoffed. I'll get right on that. Next time Roman asks me out on a proper date like a normal guy, I'll let him down easy with the knowledge that your legs are just waiting to part for him.
She smacked me on the leg with a chuckle. Again, sounds like me, but maybe not lead with the my best friend's an epic slut just waiting to bang the hottest guy in school thing.
You really think he's the hottest guy in school? I asked, not for the first time, and I knew it wouldn't be the last.
Objectively, hell yes. Are you going to tell me you don't? I mean, those eyes, Pipe, come on. That man makes you wet just looking at someone else.
Laughing, my eyes fell on Roman again, who was still standing at the bottom of the bleachers with his friends. He looked up at me expectantly, as though my express purpose for looking at him had been to exchange a hello. But I couldn't look at him for long. I never could. There was something in his eyes when he looked at me. I didn't know what it was, and I didn't have to be close enough to see it to know it was there. But it sent a shiver up my spine and made me antsy. It had been there before he moved house, and it had only intensified since.
No, I said, my laugh dying a little as I wiggled on the cold seat. You've been reading too many trashy romance novels again. The only effect he has on me is repulsion. That boy is heinous. It's like he's the guy version of you, but just so much worse.
Hadley snorted.
Wow, thanks. Stellar compliment. She smacked my leg again. Finger out of mouth.
I did as I was told.
I swear I can see Roman's boner from here.
I choked on an inconveniently placed glob of spit.
Stop it already,
I spluttered. Roman doesn't want me. He just likes the rumors that he sneaks into my house at night for wild sex.
If only you weren't a virgin, she huffed. Trust you to live in one of the two houses in the boondocks with Roman Lombardi, she sighed.
Firstly, I pointed at her, I don't live with him. Secondly, it's hardly my fault his family moved into the house near mine.
Next to yours. Next to yours. And you can be sure if it was me, I'd be banging that on the regular.
You'd get sick of no strings at some point, Hads. You talk a good game, but you'll want commitment one day. And we all know Roman isn't that guy. He's not your John Cusack.
Hadley slid me a look. Oh, but Mason is your John Cusack, she cooed.
Now I smacked her.
Shut up. Mason's very nice, but there's nothing there. Piper, he's all over you. Just give him some time to work up the courage, why not?
Boys like Mason don't need courage. They've got girls just begging to go out with them.
No, men like Roman and Tucker don't need courage. Men like Mason are nice and genuine and sweet and don't want their hearts stomped all over.
You keep insisting on calling them men. They're not men.
If you tell me you're waiting for a real man, honey, I feel it's my duty as your best friend to tell you that not all of us have a John Cusack waiting for us. Some of us might need to settle for the Mason Carters of the world.
I smiled, like that would be such a hardship.
See, you like him, Hadley nudged me with her shoulder.
I laughed, very aware of keeping my finger out of my mouth. He's fine, I guess.
He's fine? She pointed at him on the field below us. He's nearly 6 foot of lean muscle who can't take his eyes off you. And I'll bet he fucks like a pro.
Not as good as Roman, I'll wager, but beggars can't be choosers, I suppose. She sighed sarcastically, and I ignored what I knew was little more than vulgar bluster.
But, ugh, why did my eyes side back to Roman again?
He was busy pulling tricks on his board like a complete idiot. Mason may have been pure, lean muscle from years of sports training, but Roman's body was no less amazing. Objectively speaking, of course. He had a mastery over his body, and the way he did those stupid tricks...
No! What the hell was wrong with me?
Okay, purely objectively, Roman is beautiful, I muttered, annoyed with myself.
Hadley laughed out loud, and Roman turned to us, which made me quickly look back to Mason. Admitting it...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?